Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Moon Crystal Power Makeup!
Today is March 26th, 2016, and this is episode 12, Sailor Moon Crystal. Welcome, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to the Anime Buoy Recommendation and Discussion Podcast, where we like to talk about our favorite anime and hope to open your eyes to some classics that you might have missed, as well as shine a light on some modern shows that maybe don't get quite as much love as we feel they should be.
Like the one this week, right?
Right? This week, we're doing an episode that we tentatively have been calling In Defense of Sailor Moon Crystal. So buckle in and let's do this thing. But first, we have a few news bits here to talk about. Slag, you want to get us kicked off?
Yeah, the first piece of news we have is really cool and kind of came out of nowhere, but is very exciting for a lot of anime fans. We have word that Adult Swim, with their Toonami block, is going to be co-producing 12 new episodes of FLCL alongside Production IG. And it's going to be a sequel to the original OVA, split into two different six-episode series or seasons.
Yeah, and so we know that the first of the new series is expected to debut in late 2017. So that's, you know, really exciting stuff. Most of the voice cast will be returning from the original series. The Pillows will be returning. And most of the creative heads involved in the original series will be returning in some capacity. So, I've seen some concern that, you know, that people don't like American companies getting involved in the production of anime, but I thought the second season of Big O was fantastic,
right?
Produced in this exact same way. It was
exactly. Even
the same American partners funding that, so...
Yeah, so bless Adult Swim and Toonami, you know, still a force in the anime world.
Right? We also have some new news on the upcoming revival Berserk anime. We know that Musumu Hirasawa-san is going to be doing new music for the series. 9mm Parabellum Bullet will be performing the show's opening song, and it's going to be debuting in July. So not too much longer, you know, for those of you who, like myself, have been waiting for more Berserk for like 16 years. It looks like we only have two or three more months and then we're all set.
Yeah, lots of returning classics. Wow.
You want to talk about this next returning classic?
Right. Well, we have some information about Voltron Legendary Defender, which is the upcoming Netflix... is it a reboot? I mean, I haven't really been following.
I believe
that
it's
much.
A reimagining.
Reimagining of Voltron. And the super cool thing is that a lot of the creative staff involved is staff that worked on Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra, which of course are probably the best Western animated series ever. So, you know, it's a pretty good sign that this has got some good people behind it. You know, super exciting to see, you know, new Voltron in 2016. Who would have thought?
Right, and that's actually going to be debuting on Netflix, so it'll all be available on day one on June 10th. So that's, again, you know, not too far off at all.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm really, really stoked about that. We also have word here that Sentai Filmworks has licensed Cobra, the animation. This is the 2010 television series based on Cobra. I'm a really big fan of Cobra, so I think this is definitely going to be something to keep your eyes open on. I get the feeling that this is going to be another great series to watch.
Cobra, la 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 la.
Wrong Cobra. All right, well, moving forward. So, we're going to talk here today about Sailor Moon Crystal. This is a controversial topic, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Sidekick, before we start talking too much about the show itself, about the personalities involved in its creation, I'd really like to hear your take on the Sailor Moon Crystal hate.
Yeah, there's various reasons why people are not fans of Sailor Moon Crystal. You know, Sailor Moon Crystal takes the arcs of the manga and basically, at least up until this point, has pretty much had one episode per volume of the manga.
Chapter?
Yeah, chapter
per
of the
chapter.
Manga. Chapter, thank you. And in that way, a lot of the fans of the classic anime feel that you don't get to know the characters as well, especially, like, you know, the other Senshi, and, you know, because everything goes at a much faster pace, and it's really just, you know, the core story beats. So that's one thing that I think a lot of people take issue with. There's also been a lot of concern about the animation quality, since, you know, this was a show that, you know, originally aired on Nico Nico, and... So, you know, it had a very low budget, you know, even considering that it's Sailor Moon, you know, it was pretty low budget. And so, you know, there were some less than stellar frames, but, you know, I think that's kind of not as uncommon in today's anime scene, you know, where they'll fix it for the home video release or whatever. You know, there might be some janky frames.
Well, and that is something that I kind of feel the need to comment on, is that I feel like a lot of the negativity that Sailor Moon Crystal gets is due to sort of different expectations in what anime was like in, or and how anime was produced in the 90s compared right. to how it's produced now. Like, anime is just not produced that way anymore.
Mm-hmm. The Sailor transformation scenes are done in CG, and there's kind of a consensus that that's very jarring compared to the, you know, just regular 2D animation of the, you know, the rest of the episode. So that's another thing. So I think it's just all these elements combined. A lot of people feel that it's the worst adaptation of Sailor Moon. At least that's the general consensus I've gotten just from, you know, looking at social media. And this is, of course, a story that's been adapted many times. There's been live action. There's the Sailor Mew musicals. Of course, the original anime, which, you know, for a lot of people, despite that original anime having a lot of significant changes from the manga, that's for most people the definitive Sailor Moon. So,
that itself is something I really struggle with sometimes, because a lot of people who are upset about the changes made for Crystal, it's like those were not in the original source material.
Yeah, but I mean, to play devil's advocate, you know, I've talked about on our first episode that Sailor Moon was pretty much what sparked my interest in anime, even though it was the terrible Deke dub, you know, still just there were elements there that I found compelling enough that, you know, really drew me in and made me want to get into anime. And so, I mean, this is a show that has a special place in people's hearts. They're, you know, they fiercely defend it. And, you know, so even though at the time, yes, it, you know, this could be arguably a more authentic telling of, you know, the original story as Takeuchi-san intended it. But I think for a lot of people, the original Sailor Moon anime is just so ingrained in their life and, you know, was such a formative part of their life that really, you know.
Do you know what my favorite Sailor Moon adaptation has been?
Sailor Moon Crystal?
The live action TV series.
Oh, okay.
It's actually like a lot of fun. It's almost just played like a Sentai, Super Sentai show, which obviously right. I'm super into.
So are we going to talk about the kind of, I mean, I know we've been talking about why Sailor Moon Crystal gets some hate, but are we going to dig a little deeper now into why, are we going to dig a little deeper now into kind of how other ways where the series differ?
Actually, that is exactly what I would like you to talk about. But first, let's just go over the basics a little bit here.
Okay, because you just made a point about Super Sentai that I like want to touch on, but.
Okay, well, hold on to that.
Yeah.
So Sailor Moon Crystal was originally announced back in 2012 that, you know, they were going to be doing a new Sailor Moon adaptation of the original manga, that it would be released worldwide as a part of the series 20th anniversary in celebration. The idol group Momoiro Clover Z was announced that they'd be doing openings and closings for this new anime. And people were super, super hype. Unfortunately, it did get delayed into 2014, but, you know, that's all right. That's all right. It ended up airing in July of 2014. Obviously, you know, it was a big enough success that there is a third season forthcoming.
There was a little bit of concern about that, though.
Well, in what way? That it wouldn't be adapted, you mean? That they wouldn't go into season three?
Yeah.
And was the concern based on haters thinking that the show wouldn't have enough viewers?
I mean, the impression I got is that it wasn't doing well for a while, but I mean, I honestly don't follow the, you know, viewer numbers super closely, like concurrently with the airing, so.
Okay, that's perfectly fair. And you know, I have some bitterness towards the haters. I've really enjoyed Sailor Moon Crystal, and it's actually really unpleasant the way that people get very venomous about how much they dislike it. It's something I actually really struggle with, and it's why I needed Slagkick here to sort of talk about that, because I lose my cool a little bit. It makes me really upsets me. It pisses me off, frankly.
Yeah, and I mean, to go a little bit more on the, you know, hate and kind of get that out of the way, you know, people definitely are entitled to their opinions, of course. We always feel that way. You know, it is kind of a shame, and you know, we feel very strongly about stuff, and on Game Buoy, you know, we've been like, oh, that game is shit, or whatever, but...
Excuse me? I'm pretty sure I have never.
We did an episode called Shit Games.
Yeah, but that was about games that are literally Kuso gay.
Well, true, but I mean, I think what I'm trying to get at here is that, you know, when someone's ability to enjoy content, in this case, Sailor Moon Crystal, is affected, and like being able to discuss and share your enjoyment, I mean, it's just, it's very, like, it's very difficult in the, you know, anime fandom right now to kind of be an out Sailor Moon Crystal fan just because of how negatively received it's been by so many people.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, let's move forward here. Obviously, for those of you who don't know anything at all about Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon is a Japanese shoujo series. The manga was serialized in Nakayoshi magazine from 1991 to 1997. The original TV animation series ran on Japanese TV from March 7th, 1992 to February 8th, 1997. And, you know, when we say that includes all Sailor Moon series. So we're including R, S, Super S, and Sailor Stars in that.
Yeah.
I have not watched all of these, apparently all added up, that is over 200 episodes.
It's actually 200 on the button.
Oh, wowzers. So, either way, though, it's sort of the prototypical, to most American viewers in particular, it is sort of like the prototypical Magical Girl series. It isn't, strictly speaking, the first Magical Girl series. It wasn't even made in the same decade as the first Magical Girl series, but definitely, you know, even in Japan, it revitalized the genre in the 90s. In North America, it is pretty much solely responsible for the popularity of the magical girl genre. So
right.
Definitely, you know, like a pillar iconic series, which might make it a little weird that we're talking about it here on the show.
Well, we're talking
specifically about this more recent adaptation that is much reviled, we think unwarranted. So with all that having been said, Slaggy wanted to do a direct comparison of the new series and the original series. I'm going to let him do that for a couple of minutes. So have at.
So, you know, the thing that's really interesting, and like, I mean, this is just coming from my perspective and, you know, the sorts of anime I've watched over the years. Like, what's really interesting to me is that when you go back and look at the original Sailor Moon anime, like Captain Spike said, it's 200 episodes and it's primarily monster of the week. That's I'm trying to find a polite way to say there is a lot of filler, and that even itself is controversial because a lot of people feel that, you know, with this, you know, extended amount of time between, you know, key story points, that, you know, you really get to know the girls' personalities better, and like, you know, they really develop their friendship more, and, you know, like, it just seems more authentic. And I've been, you know, working my way through the release on Hulu and Neon Alley that Viz has done. You know, they've done a new dub, but I've just been watching it subbed, rewatching it, and I mean, it's still an enjoyable show, but I do have to admit it does get a little tedious to kind of sit through and wait for like those big story beats to happen. And you know, as is very common with a lot of anime, you know, like Bleach and like many other ones, there are not quite as bad, but there are arcs that are just exclusive to the anime because, you know, they had to wait for the manga to catch up. And, you know, I'm talking about maybe like 12 or so episodes, not like 80 episodes of filler, but still, like, what Sailor Moon Crystal was able to do in, you know, 26 episodes, it took, 90-ish episodes of the original anime to do. And, you know, so the pacing is a lot slower, and due to that, you know, it really takes on more of a Monster of the Week feel. It still is, you know, a shoujo series, but I mean, I almost feel like Sailor Moon Crystal, in a lot of ways, for me, feels more shoujo. And I mean, a lot of people are probably going to call me out on that. And like, by all means, you should, because, you know, I'm not a shoujo anime expert, but...
And let's be clear, when we say shoujo, the name is literally in Japanese, like young woman. And when we talk about it with regard to anime and manga, we're typically referring to a narrative focus on like
romance,
relationships to other people, and like sort of emotions and stories about feelings and the way that we all interact with one another.
That's definitely a huge part of, you know, the core of what Sailor Moon is, you know, the relationship between the Sailor Senshi and then between Mamoru and
Usagi. When you say Sailor Senshi, what does that mean?
So the Sailor Senshi are so should I just give the Cliff Notes version of what Sailor Moon is?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be perfect.
So Sailor Moon is the magical girl form of Usagi Tsukino, who is a middle schooler, kind of clumsy crybaby, but she's, you know, has this magical power awakened by a cat, Luna. And, you know, so then she finds out that, you know, there are these other Sailor Senshi or guardians who are there to protect her and kind of fight in her magical girl team, without getting super spoilerly. So and then, you know, there's like the love interest, who is Mamoru Chiba, and he is the mysterious tuxedo mask, or tuxedo kamen in Japanese. And so, you know, it just kind of involves the Sailor Senshi fighting against supernatural cosmic forces and such, and, you know, definitely very planetary alien sort of themes. And I mean, it's really hard for me to, you know, not go too much more in depth without like giving spoilers, because Sailor Moon has, like, I think, a really great lore that, you know, regardless of which version you're watching, you know, just the lore of Sailor Moon, like, is just really, really rich. So, that being said, the original Sailor Moon does focus a lot on romance, on the relationships, but, the thing that, like, really strikes me as a big difference between original Sailor Moon and Sailor Moon Crystal, and to be fair, I haven't really seen much of the other adaptations, and I haven't read all of the manga, so, you know, I'm just kind of comparing these two, which I'm most familiar with. In the original anime, everyone's kind of shitty to Usagi, especially Rei, who is Sailor Mars. Like, they, like, basically, I'm like, why are you friends? And Mamoru, who's the love interest, is, like, a super asshole, and so basically everyone's always like, God, Sailor Moon, why are you so clumsy? And, you know, she's definitely still clumsy and crybaby in Sailor Moon Crystal. I mean, that's who Usagi is. She's, you know, she's clumsy, a crybaby, she's kind of impulsive, but I feel the characterizations are a lot more, I don't know if sincere is the right word to say, but I feel
genuine.
The characters, I find them more likable in Sailor Moon Crystal, honestly. And I mean, a lot of people are gonna drag me through the mud for saying that, but like, when I, you know, watching through Sailor Moon Crystal, I'm like, wow, you know, the girls actually like each other. And yeah, maybe we didn't get, you know, a bunch of episodes about, you know, such and such happening to this Sailor Senshi. Like, they're just a lot more, they like act more like a team to me. I don't know. And then Mamoru and Usagi actually like have a loving relationship, which, I mean, that was what struck me, because like, even after they end up getting together in the original anime, like, Mamoru is just a total dick, and like, regardless of, you know, brainwashings and such that happen to him, like, he's just an asshole and he's not likable, and it's like almost borderline like emotional abuse in some ways. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting,
you
too
know,
heated.
My experience with the original series was somewhat limited, but like, when my friends would tell me about what like the storyline was and how Mamoru was treating Usagi, like, it always sounded like abusive. Like, and you know, this is something I may have talked about this somewhat recently, when I go back to some of the shoujo romance stories that I loved in the 90s and I look at them now through the lens that I now have, it's like, wow, like, this is really misogynistic and borderline abusive. And I definitely feel like the original Sailor Moon adaptation fit in that paradigm, and I don't feel like Sailor Moon Crystal does, which is something I liked about Crystal tremendously.
Original Sailor Moon definitely has a lot more comedy in it. I mean, there's definitely some silly moments in Crystal as well, but you know, Usagi and Rei, Sailor Moon and Sailor Mars, their, like, aggression towards each other is usually played for laughs, and Rei has a pervy grandpa.
Both mutually working to get better, whereas the episodes of the original series I saw, it just seemed like Rei was kind of a jerk.
Yeah, and so, I mean, like, it's honestly really difficult for me to go back now in a lot of ways, because, you know, I really prefer, honestly, the relationship, how the relationships are portrayed on Sailor Moon Crystal. So, I mean, to me, those are really the big, as someone who was, you know, this is someone coming from someone who was a fan of the original Sailor Moon, who sat through all of the 65 or whatever episodes were syndicated on television by Deke, you know, those are the ones that are really noticeable to me. Like, there's also some, you know, story changes, some character changes, but, you know, the thing that's kind of cool is that if you have, like, you're like, oh yeah, I kind of watched a little bit of Sailor Moon back in the day, there'll definitely be, like, moments where you're like, oh yeah, that happened in the original show, that happened. But then the way that stuff plays out, I don't know, it's just like, the way it plays out, I almost feel is a little bit more mystical in some ways, too. Like, I think of kind of the conclusion of the first story arc and the comparison. And I guess, like, in a lot of ways, they are similar, but I don't know. Like, I guess maybe I just don't have the patience for longer anime anymore either. But, you know, something just about the pacing in Crystal really works for me, so.
Excellent, excellent. I, you know, and that actually segues perfectly into the next bit I wanted to talk about, which was specifically what we did like and didn't like about Crystal specifically, no longer in comparison to the original series.
Mm-hmm.
So something you liked was the compressed storytelling.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the biggest thing, like, was the, you know, the characterization of the girls and, well, of all the characters, really. And like I said, you know, one thing that we don't get from that, and maybe this is a didn't like, because for me, there's not much to not like about Crystal, which is not a popular opinion. But I mean, yeah, Naru, who is Sailor Moon's civilian BFF before all of the Sailor Moon stuff happens, she's kind of a little bit in the background. But in, you know, in the original, if you're an old school Deke Dub fan back in the day, I'm talking about Molly, who's like, "Hey, Serena." But like, you know, so like she's kind of in the background, but I mean, I guess that would be like the only thing that, and I wouldn't even say it's something I don't like, it's just that, you know, I think it's maybe sometimes makes the assumption that you have seen the original show, and so that, you know, stuff that's cut out, you'll be like, oh, I don't really need to worry about that. Like, a good example for comparison for me is Persona 4 the Golden Animation, which, if you have not played Persona 4 or Persona 4 Golden or watched the Persona 4 animation, is really disjointed, but as like a companion piece, it, like, works really well. So I think that's kind of where I'm at.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, I know I haven't talked as much as Slaggy this week, largely because I don't have that comparison perspective that he has.
Oh, another example would be Fullmetal Alchemist versus Brotherhood, you know.
Oh, yeah, and that's another one that I would love to do, because a lot of people love Brotherhood, and I think the original series is so much better.
Same.
And it kills me that so many people I know now are like, oh, I just watched Brotherhood. I heard the original series isn't worth bothering. I'm like, dude, I disagree with that so strongly.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no, it's all good, though. What I really liked about Sailor Moon Crystal was, again, you know, that it did seem to trim the fat. I've heard people say that, oh, you don't really get a sense of who the girls are, but I didn't feel that way. And I don't know if there's, like, a cultural osmosis thing going on or whatever, but I felt like I understood all of these characterizations well enough.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly, you know, cared and was invested enough that toward the end of the second season, which is episodes, what, 14 to 26?
Yeah.
Toward the end of what I was watching, like, I was getting, like, really emotionally invested and upset, so
mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like the characterizations of the girls came across.
Yeah.
And I actually thought that it came across in a way that was more appropriate, because I've actually read the first 15 chapters or so of the manga, and I actually felt like the characterizations matched what I remembered from there better than they did from the scattered episodes of the original adaptation that I mm-hmm. saw. So I like Sailor Moon Crystal a lot. I think it seems, so far, like, to my knowledge and from my perspective, it seems like a more accurate adaptation. I'm not sure why people come for it over that.
Janky other than animation, like, frames.
Other than, yeah, okay, there's occasional jank animation. Welcome come to the anime industry in the 2010s because nobody buys anime anymore and shows don't get gigantic, enormous budgets they used to get.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I honestly, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm not an artist and I don't, like, readily notice it. But, I mean, like, even if it was, like, you know, super crappy character designs, you know, I mean,
I don't think the character designs are problematic at all.
I don't either. But I'm saying even if the art was, like, really embarrassingly bad for 2014, 2015, 2016 standards, like, if it was entertaining to watch, like, I mean, that, you know, that wouldn't bother me. I mean, I watched Dragon Ball, you know, and, you know, I'll watch old anime and, you know, definitely, you know, shows its age, but it doesn't stop me from, you know, watching it because it's not, like, you know, perfectly pretty or whatever. Something you were saying about the getting to know the girls, like, the thing that I was just thinking of when you said that is, like, you know, with a series that we watched recently, like Yuki Yuna as a hero or, you know, Madoka, like, these are series that are, you know, regularly paced as well. And, I mean, you get to know those girls really well. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of, I think sometimes people tend to underestimate how much character growth and storytelling can happen in 13 or 26 episodes. I mean, you know, most anime, I mean, I guess, I don't know, I shouldn't say most, but, you know, a lot of the greats are, you know, 26 episodes, or some are 13 episodes, or some are OVAs, and they still can, you know, tell a story effectively. So, I mean, I appreciate where, you know, you get to see multiple stories involving Ami-chan, or, you know, little seasonal episodes where they go on summer break or whatever, but, you know, that's not what I need from Sailor Moon, so.
That's fair. Okay. All right. Well, since we've been talking about this for so long, I think it's time to start moving this forward. Let's talk a little bit about the who's and the what's and the how's.
Yeah.
So, Sailor Moon Crystal was directed by Munehisa Sakai-san. You might be familiar with Sakai-san's work on several of the Dragon Ball Z movies, for work on Heart Catch Precure, Smile Precure, and directing like a couple hundred One Piece TV series episodes, as well as two of the later movies, before working on Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon Crystal. The scripts were written by Mutsume Ito-san, who again did script work on the Precure series, as well as Digimon Fusion, as well as Yuji Kobayashi-san, who did script work on the Saint Seiya Omega Revival series, Sazae-san, the TV series, quite a bit of work on the Precure meta series, including the specific series Smile and Sweet. So again, you know, these are our writers that have a lot of history, a lot of experience within this magical girl genre. So I definitely think that they had good people involved in this project. The music, as in the general score, was done by Yasuhara Takanashi-san. I actually thought that the score of Crystal is one of its strong points. You might be familiar with Takanashi-san's composition work on shows like Hellgirl, Ikitosen, Naruto Shippuden, Fairy Tail, Precure Fresh, Heartcatch, Sweet, and Smile. And also, he's done work on quite a few video games, including the J-Stars Victory Versus game and the Genji series from Sony. So, again, you know, a really fantastic composer for this kind of work. As we mentioned, Momoiro Clover Z did the opening and closing themes, Moon Pride and Gecko, respectively.
Oh, and Moon Pride, I just gotta say, Moon Pride is my jam, and I'm sad that it's not the Season 3 opening, because Moon Pride is just so good. And, you know, Moonlight Densetsu is, you know, legendary, so that's saying something.
The character design of Sailor Moon Crystal was done by Yukie Sako-san, and Sako-san has worked on so many things over the years. The Big O, which we were talking about earlier, Blue Exorcist, Cardcaptor Sakura, Code Geass, Get Backers, Ghost in the Shell, the movie, like the old movie.
You know, and this is, the character design is where a lot of people feel that was where it dropped the ball, and they've actually brought in someone new. I don't have the name on the top of my head, but
for Series 3, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, and that to me is, I absolutely disagree with that. I love the character designs of Sailor Moon Crystal. I feel like they're super faithful to the manga while still being like fresh, like 2016 anime.
Yeah.
Like, I dig them.
The new art still looks good, but it's a little bit more a step towards what the anime looked like, I guess.
The original adaptation, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get it. I guess that their plan is probably, you know, to hew closer to the original adaptation for season 3, probably to try and win some of those fans back, which, you know, I think is a bummer, certainly, but I guess it is what it is. And then last but certainly not least, the animation studio behind Sailor Moon Crystal is Toei Animation.
Oh, just a little studio.
Right? I mean, I literally couldn't even, like, read this list. Like, I'm looking at a list of Toei Animation shows. It's, like, literally several hundred shows deep.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the longest running, you know, hugest anime studios in the history of the in the history of the art.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to start moving toward wrapping this conversation up, but we're not quite finished. Slaggy, I'd really like you to discuss things you particularly enjoyed about the individual series, like, you know, less looking at, like, oh, this is something overall I enjoyed about the show. I'd like to hear about, like, moments you really enjoyed. So you might be a little more spoilery than you previously mm-hmm. were, but still try to keep it kosher.
Can I say the moon stuff?
Okay, because that's totally where I was gonna go.
Because there really wasn't a lot of, like, I mean, at least from my memory, like, they didn't have a lot of, like, moon stuff happening before, you know, at least in the, you know, in the first story arc. Like, so, like, all of the moon stuff, you're just like, what, Sailor Moon? So, like, that's my way of being not spoilery, but definitely that. And then just really, like, that end of the second arc, the Black Moon arc, where, you know, things really start to pick up and a certain Sailor Senshi makes her appearance. Like, I just, you know, and I remember really liking Sailor Moon R a lot, but, like, just really the, like, the ramp up of the corresponding arc in Crystal, like, I was just like, yes. I mean, it was to the point where, like, I mean, I know all of, like, the main story beats of Sailor Moon, like, you know, all of the 200 episodes or whatever, you know, I basically, you know, I know the whole lore, the meta series and everything, but, like, there were still moments, like, in the last few episodes where I was, like, sobbing. I'm like, why am I crying? I know what's gonna happen. And, you know, it ends up having a happy ending, so, you know, I mean, it's not, like, an ending, because, you know, there's still more to be told, but that said, you know, like, just that portrayal of that arc, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also really found Chibiusa a lot more endearing. That's one, another example of, you know, characterization, because Chibiusa is just a brat in the original, and, I mean, she's definitely kind of bratty still, but, I mean, she ends up being, I feel, a lot more endearing.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that statement. For me, my favorite stuff has been anything involving Silver Millennium.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's like you were saying, Slaggy, earlier, like, the lore of Sailor Moon is really cool.
I'm like, welcome to what I've been trying to tell you for the past, what, 15 years.
Yeah, like, once they start going into, like, who Endymion is and everything about Silver Serenity. Millennium and Earth Kingdom and that the conflict and Serenity, like, oh my goodness. I was literally, like, binge watching status at that point. Like, one episode right. would end and it's immediate, like, all right, next one. Like, I'm skipping the ending and opening because I just need more story right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's something that you honestly you don't get as like the impact isn't as strong in the original because it's broken up with here's a monster of the week. They're at the carnival and then the carnival performers are monsters and then Moon Tierra action.
Well, that is a darn shame because once that momentum started going through that storyline around, I want to say maybe episode 7 or 8 it starts.
Yeah.
From that for like the next like 6 episodes, I was basically glued to my seat. Like, I just could not get enough. So that for me is just absolutely, like, if you're starting Sailor Moon Crystal, if you've watched the original and you're like, no, I'm not sure I want to get into Sailor Moon Crystal, I've heard bad things, just give it to, let's say, episode 10. And if it gets its hooks in you, you're welcome. I definitely think it's worth it, though. I was so invested by the time I got to that point. And it was just, I felt like a really great payoff for the way that, you know, the overall story goes kind of slowly in that first first handful of episodes. Like, you know, the girls are coming together and they're meeting each other. But...
yeah, now imagine that over like 26 episodes.
Oh, that sounds awful. Because I'm like, even just over like 6 or 7, I'm like, okay, it's cool that they're meeting each other and building the team. But like, can a larger story happen now?
Yeah, in the original series, it's like just Sailor Moon and Sailor Mercury for like a handful of episodes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sagi, I'd really like to hear from you. What were the, sort of the key themes of Sailor Moon Crystal seasons 1 and 2?
Friendship, family, romance, destiny.
If I was an English teacher and you just wrote out a list like that, I would give you an F. Well, a D. So why don't you talk, just pick one or two of those themes and just talk about it a little bit, how it's reflected in the show and what the show has to say about it.
Okay, well, I mean, destiny is really a big part of it. The Sailor Senshi and, you know, and Tuxedo Kamen and Chibiusa, like, you know, they all have kind of these magical destinies and, you know, no matter what happens, you know, they're kind of inevitably going to fulfill that destiny. That's something that's definitely a huge part of the second half of, which I mean, I guess it's technically called season 2, but, you know, the first 2 seasons kind of were produced together. They share the same opening and closing credits. So in some ways, it's easy to think of it as just one season together, but, you know, those 2 arcs. And then, you know, when you, like what you were saying about, you know, Serenity and Endymion, you know, like past destinies. I mean, does that make sense? Like, you know, it's just like that regardless of what may be happening in their, you know, day-to-day life, that this is a destiny to be fulfilled. Like, I'm trying to not get spoilery.
Okay. And what would be another theme then? You were pointing out family. Was that one?
I mean, family, friendship, like, not necessarily.
How about bonds between people?
Bonds between people, yeah. Because, I mean, not necessarily family, like, you know, not Usagi's, you know,
mom
birth family, but, you know, kind of her, like, extended family, you know. And, you know, I mean, that definitely, I can't get too much more in depth without getting spoilery. But, like, so yeah, just the bonds between people and the power of, you know, the power of those bonds, and, you know, like in their case, like Sailor Moon finding like literal power from, like, you know, working with her fellow Senshi or with Tuxedo Kamen, you know, like when she's, you know, weak and, you know, almost about to give up, like they like literally like we're gonna lend you our power, like magically. But, you know, there's also, you know, a strong metaphor there. So
yeah, and that's cool, and that's actually something I really appreciated about it, about Sailor Moon Crystal. So I'm glad that we're both on that here. Where is Sagi, where did you watch this?
Hulu.
Fantastic. I watched on Crunchyroll. You know, I still haven't heard about a physical release for this, but I would assume Viz is involved in that. They're sort of the gatekeepers for all things Sailor Moon.
Yeah,
in North
and they've
America.
Most of the current run has been dubbed at this point up on Hulu. So, I mean, Neon Alley as well, which is the Viz service. I think they're up to 19 or 20. So, you know what I mean? And that's using the same cast as the new dub cast for the original Sailor Moon, so, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great.
And, you know, yeah. I mean, I still prefer to watch it subbed. I mean that's just it's my preferred way. But, you know, that said, you know, both Sailor Moon dubs, the new dubs are pretty good considering what we used to have, you know. So especially if you've been, you know, watching the new Sailor Moon dub, you might find that, you know, it's really easy to jump in to watch the Crystal dub.
Excellent. All right, well, season 3 of Sailor Moon Crystal begins airing April 4th, so just weeks away. I hope that if you were previously against Sailor Moon Crystal, I hope that we have maybe changed your perspective, or at least given you pause to think about giving it a chance.
And you know,
I hope you get into it.
The other thing is that, like, if you're like, you know, strongly familiar with Sailor Moon, you watched the original show, but you held out on Crystal. Like, basically saying, you know what Sailor Moon S is all about. Like, give Crystal a chance, you know, with season 3. If you don't want to go back and watch 1 and 2, really give it a chance with 3. Like, I think even a lot of people are, you know, a lot more hopeful about this upcoming season. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's move this forward. Did we have any social links this week?
Yep, we have a few tweets to get to. The first tweet comes comes from RodShark23 over on Twitter. Well, the first tweet comes from Twitter. What a surprise. So RodShark23 says, just heard the Overlord episode. I'm surprised you guys didn't mention Log Horizon. It's my personal fave in the MMO genre. Yeah, like, you know, that's actually one that I've been meaning to get around to. You know, I remember when it was, you know, really popular. And I've heard good things about it. I just didn't get around to that one. But you're definitely right. You know, this is a genre that's been really popular, and I've heard good things about Log Horizon.
And, you know, I actually wanted to say, when I saw this tweet, I even thought, like, oh, shoot. My experience with Log Horizon is very limited. I watched, like, 2 episodes, and I really enjoyed them. I just didn't have time to keep it up. So I'm definitely going to go back to it, especially with in light of this tweet. And, you know, who knows? Maybe you just inspired one of our episodes for next month. So,
yeah.
You know, we're kind of planned out now in our immediate future about what we want to talk about, but I could definitely see us talking about Log Horizon if it is as good as I've heard. So
yeah, and our next tweet actually comes from RodShark23. So we appreciate all of the tweets from you this week, RodShark. This time saying, have you guys been watching Digimon Adventure Tri? There needs to be a discussion on why, spoilers, Liamon always dies.
So I have been, and as soon as the Adventure Project, because there's supposed to still be 2 more films / how many episodes are they cutting them into? 4 each? So 8 more episodes. Either way, once it's all done, we will definitely be talking about it here.
Yeah, I have not watched any of it yet, but I've heard really, really good things. And, you know, some good Digimon games coming out too, apparently. So,
oh yeah, that recent PlayStation 4 one is awesome. It's basically like Persona Mon.
Awesome! Mon. So that's it for our social media, but if you would like to interact with us on the social medias, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/animebuoy.
Facebook at facebook.com/animebuoy.
Twitter at twitter.com/animebuoy.org with the .org spelled out .org.
At animebuoy with the... At animebuoy.org with the .org spelled out, .org.
And I guess, are we already at that time? No, I guess we...
Well, we skipped what we've been watching this week, but yeah, we're going to get to that right now.
Yeah.
I said, hey, what's going on?
So, Swaggy, what have you been watching this week?
I've been watching Sailor Moon Crystal, but I also peppered in some old school Sailor Moon to kind of compare and contrast, you know, some of the big plot. So, you know, I would kind of like the, you know, big plot episodes being like, oh, yeah, that played out a little different. So,
excellent.
Sailor Moon.
Let's see. I've been watching Sailor Moon Crystal, obviously. Dragon Ball Super, of
course. Oh, yeah,
of course. And I've also been, I started watching FLCL on Thursday after the FLCL announcement, because I wanted to sort of refamiliarize with it. But that's short. It's only like 3 hours to watch the whole series.
Yeah, that's
so
definitely on my radar to be doing as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty likely we're going to do an FLCL episode in the next month. So
yeah.
Like, I have that penciled in. So let's keep moving forward. Did you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, so I guess it is that time now, huh?
Sure is.
Well, we love your feedback. We love your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We appreciate your listenership over on Stitcher Radio. And we mentioned Facebook and Twitter. We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter.
We really do love Twitter.
You can mail us at mailbuoy@animebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@animebuoy.org.
And our home base is animebuoy.org, which hopefully, you know, a little bit of content now, you know, is starting to grow into its own little sister ship.
Woohoo!
And speaking of other sister ships, where can we sail people out to?
All right, if you want to check out Slag Kick and I talking about video games that are a little bit left of center, that is to say video game news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be, you should check out GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
If you'd like to hear me and Shane Alenko talk about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers meta series and the Japanese Super Sentai series upon which they're based, you should check us out over on Ranger Pridecast, which is a part of the VOG Network. That is VOGNetwork.com. You're looking for Ranger Pridecast.
Yeah,
Swaggy?
Yeah, both of those are VOGNetwork.com shows.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
Take us to a library.
Ooh, girl, the library is open on Reading is Fundamental, the podcast where we serve tea and dish on everything Drag Race, hunty. And that includes me, Spike, and Rob from OLR, and Dalvin from Video Game Realness. I'd also like to direct you, if you're into over-the-top action, then you might want to check out Tables, Ladders, and Podcasts, which is a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. You know, WWE wrestling is basically like a Magical Girl show. And over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
You know, we shout out a bunch of gaming podcasts if that's your bag. So with that, I guess it's time to...
say goodbye, or sayonara, as the case may be.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I hope that you have had half as much fun listening to us tonight as we've had talking to all of y'all out there. We really appreciate that you take your time and spend it with us. It's really special. And we really hope to share some really cool stuff with you. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks talking about some other shows we really, really love. But until then, keep watching.
Keep thinking.
I thought you were gonna repeat keep watching.
I always thought you were gonna say keep thinking.
Ah, that's totally fair. All right, well, let's try that again. Keep watching.
Keep watching.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And see you, Tuxedo Mask.
Suki ni kawate oshiokyo. Yes.
Mics are hot. All right, your sound levels look pretty good. We should be good. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to the Anime Recommendation and Anime Buoy Recommendation and Discussion Podcast, where we like to talk about our favorite anime and hope to open your eyes to some modern classics that... It's all good. Who cares? Just enjoy it, man. It's going to be all right.